Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Steel Nation Radio, brought to you by Total Sports Enterprises. I'm Mike Pelaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, where we cover the Steelers 24/7 while bringing you, the Steeler fans, together in an effort to raise money for Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. Visit the site, read the articles, listen to the podcasts such as this one, check out the store, join the club, help us raise money for the kids. You can also find my work on SteelCityUnderground.com, amongst other outlets. So please go to SteelNationAssociation.com, SteelCityUnderground.com, read all the articles by all of the great panelists and authors and everybody involved, and take a listen to all the podcasts as well. But I'm going to go right into it. I think we're all excited. The Steelers kind of corrected the issue from the Bears loss a couple of weeks ago now to improving to 3-1 after visiting the Baltimore Ravens. And honestly, you know, to me, all is forgiven. I mean, of course, you want to be 4-0 at this point, and they probably should be after having seen them destroy the Ravens. But I mentioned on the podcast last week that if the Steelers could go on the road and beat Baltimore to improve to 3-1, that all would be forgiven in my mind, and it is. Before the season began, of course, I did my season projections, and of course, I broke it down game by game. And after the first quarter of the season, which is kind of how Ben Roethlisberger likes to break it down, the Steelers finished 3-1 in my projections, and that's exactly what they did. Now, I had the flip-flop with the win over the Bears and the loss to the Ravens, but as I mentioned last week as well, you would much rather get the Ravens win and lose to the Bears if you had to pick an area to lose. So all is forgiven, you know, whether or not it was the national anthem that caused some issues in Chicago, or if they just had a bad game, or maybe we have more of that to come. I don't know. I don't think so in terms of that's who they are. I think there was a lot of different factors involved there. Some of it bad play, some of it the national anthem, but it's irrelevant. They came down to Baltimore to still their most bitter rival, a team that was coming off a very bad loss in London to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are an average team at best in my mind, and it's a team that we'll be talking about here shortly because the Steelers play them this coming week. But, you know, the Ravens had a lot of motivation to come home and win that game and, you know, battle early season battle, but for first place. And, you know, the Steelers dominated. They dominated from Jump Street, and you know, to me, that game really wasn't ever in doubt. And a lot of that goes to Le'Veon Bell, who, quite frankly, I mean, he owned the game. He had 144 yards on the ground on 35 carries. He had another 42 yards in the air. And that's the Le'Veon Bell that we're all accustomed to seeing. And I think I predicted this last week with my game preview, my first look. I said Le'Veon Bell would be ready to explode, and he did. And I think that's who we're going to see the rest of the season. As I wrote earlier this week, this offense needs to center around Bell. I don't have a problem with supplementing Connor in there. In fact, he did pretty well in the few carries he got. He had the longest run of the Steeler season. I think it was 23 yards or so. And he's fast. He's big. I think he is a great complement to Bell. I actually wouldn't mind seeing him get a few more carries and a Bell a few less. Bell's certainly not going to be able to hold up with 35 carries over the next 12 weeks and then into the playoffs. I'd rather see Bell around 20 to 25 and give Connor maybe 10 carries. I think that, you know, we can bring Bell's ground yards down some, rushing yards, I guess I should say, huh? You know, at 144, if he hovers around 115 or 100, 120, somewhere in there, and Connor picks up 35 to 40 yards, I that's fine with that. I mean, let's save some of that workload for Bell later, but we can make it up with the passing game. So maybe give Bell 7 or 8 balls in the air. Yes, he's still going to get tackled. Yes, he's still going to get hit, but it's a little bit different. And I just think that he has to be the focal point of this offense. And I know that Antonio Brown probably doesn't want to hear that. And you know, there's much ado about Brown and his explosion on the sidelines when Roethlisberger didn't throw it to him when he was wide open. And, you know, competitive juices flow. Brown is obviously a very competitive guy. He wants his numbers. He was wide open. I mean, he's not wrong. He was wide open. It was a sure touchdown. And you know, I think that sometimes competitive juices fly and that gets the best of you. But at the same time, you know, he can't do that. And the Steelers won the game, and everybody said everything was fine afterwards. The Steelers won the game, so it didn't really matter, and that's true. A lot of people in the media want to speculate that there's trouble within the locker room. I don't think that there's that. I think that's a little bit of drama. Do I think that Brown can be a diva sometimes and is acting like one in those situations? Yeah, I do. You know, Roethlisberger on his show this week said that it can turn into a distraction when Brown acts that way. And obviously, teammates like Juju Smith-Schuster, the 20-year-old rookie, you know, is watching that. And what does he think of that? Where's Roethlisberger's point? And point taken, I think that he's right. I think that Brown is a veteran, as to me, the best receiver in football, as a guy who generally gets his balls, who was leading the league in receptions and receiving yards coming into this week against the Ravens, you know, he needs to understand that it's not going to always go to him. And, you know, something I had been talking about for a few weeks now was that Roethlisberger needed to spread the ball around and the ball needed to center through Bell a bit more. And guess what? It worked. It worked. Bell is the center point of this offense. He has to be. And if he runs as effectively as he did in Baltimore, then Brown is going to get his chances and maybe more, because now the offense can't nearly be as predictable. A few weeks into the season, it was Roethlisberger throwing to Brown, and it was very predictable. And all the balls were, obviously I'm exaggerating some, but all the balls were going to Brown, which made it a very predictable offense. Bell wasn't running very effectively. Martavis Bryant wasn't getting many balls, and nobody else was, quite frankly. And yes, they won two out of their first three, but did you ever feel good about those first couple of wins? And you certainly didn't feel good about the loss in Chicago. To me, this is the first game, now being game four, against a hated Baltimore Ravens team where the Steelers looked good. They looked very good on all sides of the ball. And a lot of that, to me, had to do with Le'Veon Bell being the center point. He obviously got his yards. He obviously opened up the offense in the passing game. Now, Roethlisberger's numbers aren't gaudy, but it doesn't matter, and he'll tell you that. He just wants to win, and he's fine with that. I think some people are calling this a game manager situation for Roethlisberger. That's absurd. He is quite capable of making all the plays we've seen him make over the last several years, and then some. He is a top three or four quarterback in this league. It's inarguable, in my opinion. And you will see that down the line when they need it. But this was a week, and hopefully continuing into Jacksonville week, where Bell was the focal point. It worked. You work the ball from the inside out, and everything will flow from there. But not to mention, you know, with Bell being the focal point, opening up the offense a bit more, making it less predictable. But it helps the defense, too. I mean, how about that first drive where the Steelers drove from their own 3 or 4 yard line all the way down the field? It was a scoring drive. I mean, that is so beneficial for the defense on so many levels. One, of course, points were put on the board. Two, they got to rest for quite a while, which is extremely important. But three, at the minimum, it flips the field position. And in a big game, a big rivalry game in particular, especially when you're starting on your own three, to be able to flip the field position, let alone score, is fantastic and so beneficial. So that starts with Bell. When he's running downhill like he was at the tune of 4.1 yards per carry, they're having some good days, and that's gonna continue. And that will continue against Jacksonville, because quite frankly, if we transition to this game for a moment, Jacksonville's got a pretty good pass rush. They've got two defensive ends there that are getting a lot of sacks so far through the first 4 weeks. They've got, 5.5 sacks out of Calais Campbell and another 4 out of Yannick Ngakoue, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I apologize if I'm not. But point is, between their two defensive ends, they have 9.5 sacks already. They get to the quarterback, and that means that the Steelers are going to have to open it up with the run again. And it's going to put a lot of pressure on the offensive line. But they did it last week. They can do it again. Jacksonville is an improved team, you know, and of course, I predict a win out of Pittsburgh. They're coming home only for the second time this season. I think that they're going to win. I think they're actually going to open it up pretty nice again, somewhere to the tune of 27 to 13 or 27 to 17, something along those lines. I don't think that they're going to be in too big of a dogfight, but That's if they stick with the game plan they used in Baltimore, centering it around Bell and protecting Ben, because those two guys coming off the ends with 9.5 sacks between them, they're getting to the quarterback. Ben needs to stay upright, and they need to get the ball out quick, whether that's some quick slant passes or just dumping it off to Bell or handing it off to Bell. And don't forget about Antonio Brown. I don't want to say that he's going to get another 4 catches for 30 yards or whatever it was this past week. That's not what I'm advocating. That's not what I'm saying. I think there is a happy middle there where Bell gets the 20 to 25 carries, the 100 to 110 yards. He maybe gets a few more balls in the air. You supplement with Connor, but Brown catches his 7 or 8 balls and probably a little bit more freely, because now you have to focus on Bell. If you're Jacksonville, you have to remember that Martavis Bryant, who's had about 4 catches and some big plays down the field against Baltimore, you can't really double-team Brown. The Ravens tried to double-team Brown. It didn't work. Yeah, it worked in the sense that Brown only had the few catches, but look at the game. They got dominated. So if you want to double Brown, then you're going to get run down your throat by Bell, or you're going to get bombed on with Bryant, or you're going to get dumped off with Jesse James, or you're going to go across the middle with Juju Smith-Schuster, who's looking more and more like a fantastic pick. And you know, Eli Rogers playing time, he didn't even get to dress this past week due to his fumble in Chicago, but you know, his playing time, he'll dress again, but his playing time is obviously going to be reduced the more that Smith-Schuster shows up. He's already got a couple of touchdowns through 4 weeks. And that opens up everything. So, you know, double-teaming Brown, and Brown's not going to be happy, but it's actually very much helping this team. And if Brown can stay satisfied with this team winning and not worry about his stats, then this team can go a long way. But if he becomes the distraction that Roethlisberger kind of indicated that he is with those blow-ups, whether it's against Jacksonville, Baltimore, you know, the Patriots down line, whomever, then there will be a problem. I don't think that'll happen anytime soon, at least. You know, obviously this is not a first. But more curiously will be to see how he reacts to Roethlisberger calling him out. Will that actually be a distraction is a question that I've seen some ask, and I guess that's a legitimate one. But back to Jacksonville. So, you know, we're looking at that, and I think it's a win. In early season, I predicted that, and I'll stick with it. What I didn't really think was going to happen was Blake Bortles being the starter. I actually thought we'd see Chad Henne. It's been Bortles. He's been pretty good this year. He's got 732 passing yards. He's completing, let me see if I can find it here, only 55% of his passes, so that's definitely not great, but it's better for him. His interceptions are down, considering what he's done in the past. He's got 7 TDs to 3 interceptions. He's got a rating of 81.7. So, yeah, I mean, he's not a top-level quarterback, but he is performing better than he has in the past, and you know, I didn't expect to see him. So he's somebody to at least keep an eye on. Leonard Fournette, obviously the rookie running back at LSU, to me is a dangerous back that they're going to have to concentrate on. He's only averaged 3.5 yards per carry so far, which is a little bit of a surprise to me, to the tune of 285 yards through the first month of the season. But that's not something that I'm kind of resting my hat on. That guy is extremely talented. We saw it at LSU. We've seen flashes of it so far, very early into his NFL career. He has a 150-yard game in him, and I don't want it to be against the Steelers like Chicago did to them a couple of weeks ago. And I think and fully expect that Jacksonville is going to hand the ball off to Leonard Fournette a lot this coming week, and the Steelers need to be ready for that rush attack that the Jacksonville Jaguars plan to feature. And then they're going to have Bortles more or less be the game manager that he's essentially become. If he's turnover free or turnover limited versus what he's been in the past, then that's already an improvement. So if they, much like I'm saying the Steelers should do, if they center their offense around their running attack with Leonard Fournette, you know, you can minimize the impact that Bortles has on the game. And that's exactly what that kind of team needs to do. So the Steelers absolutely need to limit Fournette. They need to absolutely get their rush around the edges and get to Bortles when he's dropping back, shake him up. He's absolutely mistake prone. He's a guy that so far hasn't been making the big mistakes, but historically he does do that, and you can push him into some turnovers, whether it be a fumble by putting pressure on him, just bad throws that get picked off, or just get him so flustered that he's just missing all the balls when he's throwing them downfield. So I think if they can do that, the crowd's going to be into it. They're coming out of a big win against Baltimore. They should win relatively easily. I think that the defense is improving each week. I don't know if we'll see Mike Mitchell this week or not. We'll have to wait as we progress through the week, but they didn't miss him last week. I actually think this is a week that he can sit. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Harrison, of course. But, TJ Watt and Bud Dupree coming around from the outside linebacker spots. You've got Cam Hayward, who to me has been a monster, and I don't want to discount Stephon Tuitt, who obviously when he missed a couple games, you could see the difference as to when he came back. And that's going to be something that, Leonard Fournette from the Jags is going to have to deal with Stephon Tuitt, because the running game is not nearly as effective when Tuitt is in there. And you can apply so much more pressure to the quarterback when Tuitt is in there. And he's obviously an extremely important piece. And you can see why the Steelers have him locked up for a long time. So, yeah, I think they get it done again this week. I think that it's relatively easy. Like I said, 27-13, 27-17, somewhere in that range. Defensively, I expect a big game. I think that they're going to get a couple of sacks. I think they are going to force Bortles into a couple of big mistakes. And I think they're going to limit Fournette. I think he's going to be impactful. I think he's going to be the most impactful player for Jacksonville, in fact, but not to the tune of anything that's going to hurt the Steelers from winning this game. Offensively, I'm definitely interested in watching Antonio Brown. And of course, if they center the offense around Le'Veon Bell, I think that they will. I think that Brown will get his catches. I actually think right now Roethlisberger's numbers are going to stay similar to what they've been through 4 weeks. And he's fine with that. And I'm fine with that too if they get the wins. So you're looking at 220 to 230 passing yards out of Roethlisberger. I don't think he's going to throw an interception. It's hard to predict things like that. But he got one last week that probably in my eyes shouldn't have been a pick. It is. It was. Whatever. That's fine. I am not buying the notion of him as a game manager. I just don't. So if the Steelers do find themselves in a situation where they need to throw the ball or they need the big play out of the passing game, look for Ben to do it. He has not slowed down. That's a fallacy. It's a mistake to say that. And, the game manager notion is ridiculous. He hasn't been a game manager since 2005 when they won the Super Bowl. And even that's a little bit of a stretch as far as calling him that. He made some huge plays in the playoffs that year. But either way. So this week, you are going to see the Steelers win. I'm sticking with that. 27-13 is what I'm going to go with my final score. You're going to see a big game out of Le'Veon Bell. Again, this offense will center around him. And you will see the Steelers load up on the run attack against the Jags. As well as defensively get after Bortles and make sure that Fournette is stuffed. So that's it for me from Steel Nation Radio, brought to you by Total Sports Enterprises. I am Mike Pelaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, SteelCityUnderground.com, and many other outlets. Until next week, let's watch the Steelers get it done, and we'll talk to you then.